Welcome to Big Broadway Energy, the podcast with your host, Stephen Reardon. That's me. Thanks for being here, everybody. Well, I don't know if you've heard, but your favorite podcaster, that would be me, of course, and his buddy Travis Moore started a theater company last year. It's called Dead Canary Theater, and it's our mission to tell urgent stories and to do it with joy. And we told two such stories last year, and we are at it again with the first show of our second season taking flight on May 14th at where else? The studio at 620, of course, my favorite place to create theater. The play is called Here, spelled H-I-R, but it's pronounced Here, H-E-R-E. And to tell us all why that is and a bit about the play is one of my brilliant cast members. He's an actor and costume designer and stars as Max, the very opinionated teenager of this very complicated family. And we are going to get into it. But first, let me introduce Newt Rometta to Big Broadway Energy. Welcome, Newt.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here. And they're, you know, these are so fun just to record when I'm promoting other people's projects. But to talk shop about, you know, the shop we are creating together is super exciting. So first of all, let's just give our listener like the elevator summary of the play Here.
It's about a family, and it has a lot to do with their family dynamic and domestic violence and how people cope with the things that have happened to them in their lives. And a lot is happening in this family's life.
on this very complicated day.
Right. This very complicated day where the oldest son has returned home from a nondescript war, and he comes home to his house in crisis because the house is stuffed to the gills with stuff, with things, and his mom has kind of gone a little crazy.
Haywire.
And his younger sibling has just come out as transgender and also discovers that his dad has had a very serious stroke that has left him very incapacitated.
And in clown makeup. I've been telling people this, you know, my elevator pitches. It's about a family in free fall and the wackiness that ensues.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is what it is. And I think this show is written by the incredible performance artist named Taylor Mack. Now, Taylor, if you've never heard of this incredible human, is a performance artist in every sense of the word. A recipient of the MacArthur Genius Grant. And the play Here was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize. So Taylor, you know, really is a nonconformist in every way. I think they break barriers everywhere they go with whatever, you know, whatever they're producing at the time. And Taylor describes this play as absurdist realism, which is like a lovely oxymoron, right? As an actor, you, when I talked to you first about this play, you know, you were so excited because you knew it. And I loved that you knew it. So what drew you to this play in the role of Max?
So the first time that I had read the play was shortly after I had come home from college, which I always had the mindset of I'm not going to come out to my parents. I was just going to exist. And when I was in high school, like, my mom knew that I had a girlfriend, so she kind of already went through that process. But when I had come home from college, I had always had short hair and dressed pretty masculine, but I was more open about, like, I am gender fluid. You have to use she, her, or he, him pronouns for me. And that was really difficult for my mom. To this day, she struggles with it. But basically, at that time, I had come out more, I guess, definitely. And I read the play and I read the description, and they were auditioning for it because they were putting it on at job site.
At job site, right.
And I was like, this role was made for me. This is it. This is my opportunity, one, to get into professional theater, but then also to be myself very authentically on stage. And I didn't end up getting the role, but I saw the show and I was blown away. It was just so incredible. It was everything that I wanted. So now to be in it is very cool.
Yeah, for sure. And this play tackles so many themes, including domestic abuse, elder abuse, transphobia, PTSD, mental health, childhood trauma. You name it, we talk about it. And we do it in a way, and Taylor has crafted this play in such a way that absurdist realism is really at the crux of the storytelling, but I think it's also incredibly human. You know, no matter if you've gone through any one or many of these themes that we just talked about, you know, this family is a family that is faced a lot of adversity, but really is human, you know? And I love that it's subversive in the very best of ways, because I think family life is subversive. No matter what family you kind of come from, whether it's a family of origin or a family you create or a family that is made of friendship, like, family is hard. How do you cope with it, you know, sort of as an actor? And then, like, and the cast, what's been your biggest hurdle in telling this story about this family?
Ooh, I come from like a very, I don't want to say broken family, because it wasn't broken necessarily. Mm. It's just my parents got divorced when I was young, and then they each got married and had more kids. So it was like I had two different family dynamics growing up. And I guess translating that to the stage, I try to imagine what my brothers would have said, because I'm the oldest, so it is a little, it's kind of a flip to play the younger sibling.
Sure.
So I'm really like incorporating like how my siblings acted growing up.
And did you get to grow up with them?
Yes. Yeah. I have seven siblings. And
oh my gosh, you're the oldest of seven?
Yeah.
My dad's the oldest of seven. Isn't that funny?
Yes. And Lucas, who is playing Isaac, is also
the oldest of like
oldest
five or six.
Five or six.
Yeah.
So that was, we bonded immediately. We were like, yeah, old sibling.
And he's playing your older sibling and you're the youngest. But like, so how did it translate to you on stage?
The number one thing that I keep breaking in rehearsals, which you know, is because there will be these times where I say stuff to Tiffany, who is playing Paige, our mom. Mm-hmm. And it's so real. It's like I can imagine very well this conversation happening between me and my biological mom. So I crack up sometimes because it does feel real. And like, I guess that's part of acting, is just pretending that it's real.
Yeah, for sure. My high school theater director used to say, great acting is that which comes closest to real life. And that always resonates with me, right? Because he was like this surly kind of like alcoholic guy and didn't have a family of his own. And we were his family. And the same kind of thing, like there was highs and lows in that relationship too, you know? But it is sort of like trying to translate it into real life is the best for me as an actor, kind of my favorite part of being on stage. Do you have a favorite part of being on stage, or what is your greatest joy about not just this play, but just being on stage?
I think playing characters that are nothing like me.
Mm.
I mean, it's nice, and it is like one of the greatest joys and honors to get to play trans characters, because I am trans and I love not just the representation, but they're like, we as trans people, we're real people and we deserve to be seen and be represented in plays and movies, TV shows. But another joy that I have is like, people who are different. And that's the thing, is like, I'm old and Max is young. And so it's like,
you're old. What are you, 25?
I'm 30.
Well, you look like you're 18.
Yeah.
So good for you, Newt.
So, and like, yeah, like I've also, one of the most fun, and I say fun in like heavy air quotes, one of the most fun roles that I played is Agnes in Agnes of God.
Oh my gosh. Where did you get to do that?
It was Carolwood Players like a million years ago.
That's a great role though.
And she is so wacky.
And
not to comment on her mental health, because that's another character who has something really traumatic has happened to her.
Sure.
But like, just to be so like out there and yeah, it's not like who I am as a person. So I love getting to play people who aren't like me.
Yeah. I want to talk to you a little bit later about, in the interview, about your career and your background, because it is really fascinating. And I love some of the things you've already sort of told me about what you've done before. But like, just now, like, I didn't know you played Agnes in Agnes of God. What an amazing opportunity for you to kind of like really stretch your muscle there. I mean, truly. But I love, you know, I love subversive theater. Like, I really do. And we talked a little bit about just like how you can be different people on stage. But, you know, some people have no interest in subversive theater. And it always surprises me. They want to see happy, smiley folks living happy, smiley lives, and maybe a hiccup here or there to kind of like make the play a play. But I think subversive theater makes my heart beat. Like, I really, really love what it makes me feel like. And one of our cast members was telling her friend the premise of the story, and she said, why would anyone want to see that? It got me thinking, like, why would anyone want to see that? So I have an answer, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. Like, why would anyone want to see this play?
My immediate thought is because.
Totally.
But yeah, I think that this is one of those stories that like needs to be told, because there's a lot of like one-liners that are so deep.
So good.
And I guess the one that immediately comes to mind is, you will never go anywhere other than the places that you've already been. To me, that's a that's like part of a slam poem, you know, like that
without
is like,
a doubt.
Wow. So I'm just reinforcing my, you should want to see this because it's so deep. And yeah, like it's sad and it's emotional, but it's going to make you think and it's going to make you feel. And I think a lot of people are going to walk out of the theater going, wow, I need to sit with this for a minute.
Yes. And, you know, I think people want to see it because theater is literally created to tell these stories.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Greeks. The human folly is the purpose of theater, right? It's supposed to make you think and feel a little short of air and hopes to introduce you to another point of view. Like, that's what I love about theater. And as the theater goer for my whole life, you know, I used to say to my friends and family when I lived in New York City, did you go to church today? And I'm like, yeah, I saw a great matinee. Like, theater to me was church. That, and it feels reverent. I go into those old theaters and I feel quiet and introspective, and I sit down and I look around and I think something is going to affect me today. And I gotta say, in the last few years, we've been walking away from that kind of theater, and it's such a joy to bring it back with Dead Canary, to be like, no, this theater exists for a reason. I want to not only tell these stories, but bring actors in that want to tell these stories, because that's the most important thing for me a theater goer. I love that you brought up one of those lines. One of the lines that I love about the play that you say is one word, catch up.
Oh, yeah.
It is. And we're not talking about ketchup, everybody, that we put on our hamburgers. We're talking about catch up. Can you just give us a brief synopsis of why Max says catch up in this play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Catch up, because here's brother comes home and is so blown away by all of the changes. And that's the thing, is that like, yes, things change, but that's life. That's the world. The world is moving, constantly changing. And if you can't process information, or if you can't even just like sit and listen and respect somebody else's truth, then what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? And it's the way that Max delivers this in the play and the way you as an actor do it. Every time you say it, Newt, it gives me chills. So it's like what you're doing is creating such a place of conversation. What I love about Max is that the character is not very likable. He's sort of a snotty teenager, which I love, because I think people are precious about trans actors and trans characters, or rather I should say, sometimes, in that they have to be heroes all the time. And in reality, that's not really the case. Trans people are just humans trying to live in this very complicated world. And sometimes they have bad days. And sometimes they have hard ways of delivering their information, or sometimes another thing you say in the play that I love is, I'm so tired of teaching people. Like,
I am tired of teaching people.
Max is tired and Newt is tired, I'm sure. You know, I mean, let's be honest. There's still so much discrimination and misinformation about the trans experience. As a trans actor, you have felt it. And I'm sure in every audition you attend, you feel it. As a trans human in the world, you feel it every time you get out of bed, I imagine, especially in Florida. I have to ask, what about your experience has helped you get through that drama and trauma every day?
Well, honestly, it's more... To me, it's more, I can do more. That cis actors have, and well, I guess all actors really, have their like their pigeonholes. They have their thing is like, I'm tall and white and masculine. I'm probably going to be a bad guy. Or like, I'm a very feminine, beautiful young lady and I'm going to be the ingenue character. But the cool, wonderful, crazy thing about being a trans actor is that I can and will do both. And I guess that's every time I go into an audition, no matter like how scared or if I mess up, that's something that I tell myself before I walk into the room every time, is I'm bringing something that nobody else has. And it's not just because I'm a great actor and I'm tossing my hair for the people who can't see, but it's because I can play a really feminine, delicate character, or I could be really gruff and determined at, like, I can be the hero or I could be the villain, or I, you know, like, it doesn't matter and about what or who the character is. I'll do it. I'll do it right now.
That's like really truly what every actor wants, to have that confidence too. I have to ask, I know you're probably tired of answering this question and you are tired of teaching people, but I do want to know, you know, as a gay man in this world, and I am a lot older than you, and I grew up in the 90s and 2000s and was a young gay man in the 2000s. And I, you know, in my 40s, I decided to come back home to Florida, which is ironically where I feel safe. Odd. but St. Pete is a special place. We all know it. And Tampa Bay is a special place. We all know it. But, you know, how do you put on your armor every day? Like, is it something that you, based on what you have to do that day, you sort of decide which cape to wear? Like, how do you show up in the world?
It's, yeah, I will say, like, I'm gender fluid, so there are days where, like, I do wear dresses, and sure, there's days where I am very masculine, and not to say the dresses can't be masculine also.
Sure.
But, so, I think I have the benefit of, I hate this term, but passing very well. And so that's typically how I navigate, especially because I'm pre-testosterone. I don't take hormones. So I pass very well, and that's usually how I get through my day-to-day. But then there are times at the gym or at the beach, you know, like Florida culture is around beach and outdoor water activities. And I paid a lot of money to not have to wear my shirt, and I'm not going to wear my shirt. And there's always in the pit of my stomach, I'm like, is somebody going to say something? Mm-hmm. But really, for the most part, nobody does. And I guess that it gives me like a fake sense of, a false sense of confidence. Maybe not false.
Maybe
but
not false, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that actually warms my heart that you are getting less and less of the thing that we all fear when we leave our house.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess it's the many years of working for Starbucks and working for Disney where it's like I have this like people pleasing. I also like to expect the best out of people. So I guess I tell myself that, too. That's part of my armor is maybe something good will happen.
Newt, I need to make sure you're on my speed dial. Okay, last question I ask all my guests. How do you use art in everyday life?
Now that I, because I, for a couple years there, I wasn't getting any gigs at all. So I had to get a real people job.
Boo.
But now that I've quit my real people job and I have gone back to freelancing, I'm usually juggling anywhere between like 2 and 3 shows at a time. So really, like, in my everyday life, I wake up, I do my morning routine, and then the first thing I do is I get on my computer and I make a list of like, okay, I've got to make this list of costumes, because I'm also a costumer. So I have to, you know, do this for the costumes. I have to do that. I have to sketch things out. I have to memorize my lines, and sometimes I'm not great at it, but I'll try to multitask. So I'll have like a recording of my lines while I'm sewing or drawing, because it's the only way to
time management, baby.
Yeah, time management, baby. And that's really, I'm so fortunate that like art is my job.
Mm-hmm, without a doubt. And you do a really good job. This is the part where I make you feel embarrassed. I'm so impressed with you, Newt. When we were casting this show, I reached out to some of my theater contacts and asked if they would know anyone who could possibly take on the role. And every single one I asked said Newt Rometta. So, and I'm so glad they did. I mean, I'm so glad you're in this play and that you're in my orbit. You are an exceptional human being. So thank you for doing this with me today. Thank you for being in the show. Thank you for being part of Dead Canary. Here by Taylor Mac opens on May 14th and runs selected dates through May 25th. Please go to thestudio@620.org for all the info you need to join us for this truly unforgettable experience. Newt Rometta, thanks for being here, friend.
Thank you for having me.
You are also our lovely costume designer. So if you want to see Newt's, not only Newt's amazing performance, but also the amazing costumes, please come check us out. Thank you, dear listener, for joining us on Big Broadway Energy. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, email me, will you? BigBroadwayEnergy@gmail.com. Until next time, friends, be kind, be curious, and keep creating. Bye, everybody.